Hey, hello there, my friend. It's Sunday. It's time for our Love Gram. Sometimes when I'm starting these messages to you, I'm kind of overwhelmed with how long the challenges of the pandemic have been going on and how we all just keep going. You know, we just keep doing our best to show up in our lives and to be with the people we love, even if it's not quite the way that we really wish it could be. We can't be with as many people that we love in person still. There's so much. And I don't want to linger there too long because we all know that part. And my hope is that these Sunday Love Grams can be a restful place for all of us, for me as well as you. And you might hear that I am outside walking. Sometimes I get my coffee and I go to my studio and I make the recordings right there. Sometimes when I'm out walking, today I got inspired by something actually that I heard, and I, you know, as often happens, like I didn't know what I was going to talk to you about this week, but I was listening to some recordings that I had made myself, and in one of them, I was talking, it sounds a little bit funny, doesn't it, talking to myself, but I was talking to myself about an insight that I'd had about celebration and how I saw so clearly that celebration is not something that we earn. You know, it's not, I mean, it can be, of course. You know, we celebrate when we get a job promotion, we celebrate when we, you know, reach a goal that we've had, sure. But I don't see that as the main way that we have celebration in our lives. We also celebrate, of course, special occasions. We celebrate birthdays and weddings and anniversaries. But again, I don't see these things, the earning of a celebration or the sort of special days of celebration, as the main ways that we have celebration in our lives. And so this is what I was talking to myself about, because what I was saying is that if I hinge all of my celebration on those kinds of things, they're so few and far between, right? That the number of special occasions in our lives, it's not that many. And especially, you know, for those of us who have I almost said for those of us who have been growing older. I guess we've all been growing older, but for those of us who are no longer in our youth, it's even more scarce, right? Which is a whole thing. I've got a whole nother bee in my bonnet about that, but I don't want to get into that right now. But you know, when you're young, there's your high school graduation, your college graduation, and there's marriage and babies and maybe grad school and your first job, or, you know, there's just way more things that people celebrate than as we get older. So my point is, this is the main point of where I'm headed, is that what we're called to do is to remember that celebration is something that is our birthright. It's the celebration of being alive. It's the celebration, like right now, of looking up and being amazed at the variety of trees, the variety of plant life, the variety of birds and flowers, and that we are part of that, right? We are part of that amazing mosaic of life. And also, I guess I want to say, because as soon as I said that, I realized when we're having a hard time, I'm using the word we're because I am including myself in this, and I suspect that this is a, you know, sort of across the board kind of thing, that when we're having a hard time, it can be hard to feel those kinds of celebration. It can be hard to feel the celebration of who we are or the shape of our lives. So in those times, we can still have celebration. We can choose to have a celebration. You know, you've probably heard me call it celebrating in the dark. That it's that way of I'm feeling sad or I'm feeling really upset, and saying to myself, you know, hey, honey, what can I do for you? What do you need? As if I'm my own best friend. And that's a different kind of celebration, but it is a celebration. It's a celebration of turning toward kindness and compassion for ourselves, no matter what. You know, it's doing whatever we can to step in and stop that squawky poly mind that might be just trying to keep us upset or keep us in a story of how sad we are, and instead offer something that feels soothing or calming. Again, like as if we had a friend who would say to us, can I make you a cup of your favorite tea? May I share a book with you that has really helped me to feel more connected to myself, or whatever it is. You know, I'm just saying, it's that place of, here, take this warm, you know, throw blanket and wrap it around yourself to feel cozy. That's kind of a quiet celebration, but it is celebration. And I hope as you're listening to this, that you're really thinking about each moment of your life can be a place to invite in a celebration. If what we're talking about, which I am, so I guess I'm going to assume that maybe you're right here along with me. If that we are using the word celebration in the way that I think it really should be used in our culture, which is a celebration of being alive, being a human being who has a whole range of emotions that we let ourselves feel. So that's the thing about, if we're feeling sad or we're feeling angry, how can we allow those feelings, but also maybe not be so lost in them, but allow ourselves to be our own best friend in them? Kind of like how, you know, there's sometimes when, I think this just happened the other night, I was feeling so filled with, like, I was cranky and sad both at the same time, and I didn't have I was talking to my friend Trish, and I said, there needs to be a word for that, cranky and sad all at the same time, but I was filled with just that cranky sadness, and yet in the course of talking to her, I still had my cranky sadness. Nothing changed. The content of what was there in my life didn't change. However, I had a friend who was there with me. And at first, you know, just kind of listening and reflecting back and asking a few questions and then offering a little thought here or there. And before I knew it, even though I was still cranky sad, I was also laughing with my friend. You know, she kind of got me into that place of, we all know that classic cliche metaphor of the butterfly and the goose state, right? So before the caterpillar turns into a butterfly, there's the goose state. And so something about the way that Trish was talking to me about that, and, you know, kind of pointing me toward, you know, let yourself be in the goose state. It just was funny. I still had all those same feelings that were originally there, but they were also a little bit shifted. And I think, to me, that was a moment of celebration. There was a lightning, not like lightning in the sky, but a lightning, like less heavy feeling that I had. And those of you who saw the Pixar movie Inside Out, I need to see it again. I haven't seen it for a few years, but it's always been a favorite movie of mine. And I always do this little spoiler alert because I'm going to spoil the whole movie for you. So close your ears if you don't want to hear. But that movie really points out that we can't have joy without sadness. That, you know, they're there together. And that oftentimes, or sometimes, when we're feeling sad, that is really what connects us to other people. People come forward, they show up for us, like my friend Trish did the other night. And there's a way in which that becomes its own celebration. So I'm going to pause here. I don't know why I don't usually pause in the middle of my recordings, but I just feel compelled to, because sometimes, you know, what happens in my regular life, I'm out and about on a walk like this and thinking about something, and then I pause, and then life will bring me a little extra nugget. And I just had an intuition that maybe that's what's wanting to happen here. So I'm going to just keep walking, but I'll be back. You won't even know I'm gone. Hi, I'm back. And it did happen. I just love that about life. So what happened was I got back to my studio and I spotted this book that I'd picked up in the little free library last night. And there's a quote at the very beginning. That's all that I've read of the book. I don't even know if I like the book, but I think that I at least know that I picked up the book because of this quote by Evelyn Waugh. And it says, "I should like to bury something precious in every place where I've been happy. And then when I was old and ugly and miserable, I could come back and dig it up and remember." I'll read it again. And again, it's Evelyn Waugh. "I should like to bury something precious in every place where I've been happy. And then when I was old and ugly and miserable, I could come back and dig it up and remember." And, you know, I think that the way that this quote is connected to what I'm talking about, this sort of everyday celebration, this sort of how can we redefine celebration to be really this presence in our life no matter what's going on, is that I think in a way what she's saying here, at least my interpretation, is that when we're miserable or feeling unhappy, if there was a way to remind ourselves. So I'll just give an example. Like next time that I'm feeling cranky and sad all at once, wish I had a word for that. Maybe one of you will send me one that you make up. Next time I'm feeling cranky and sad all at once, if I can pause and remember to quote unquote, you know, dig up that experience I had with my friend Trish, what would happen is instead of being lost in the swirl of cranky and sad and just feeling kind of often what it feels like to me is sort of drowning in those feelings, there might be that possibility of remembering like, oh yeah, I buried that wonderful experience of when I was honest and vulnerable with my friend. She helped me get to a different place with it. Didn't change everything, but it shifted it for me. And so I think that I love this, right? Like, so when I walked in the studio, there was that book. And the second thing that happened, that there was really nothing to prompt it that I can see. It's just really the magic and mystery of the way that life works. Something reminded me of my mentor, Brendan Burchard, who I work with, I'm on his team. He puts out a daily audio. And one of the audios this week had to do with taking a pause between stimulus and response. And I think most of us have heard this many times, but it's very profound when we actually practice it. So if something happens, if we can take a deep breath, or maybe even 10 deep breaths, or maybe 24 hours before responding, we often have the chance to ask ourselves in between, who do I want to be? How do I want to be with this? It's something that I wrote about a lot after I listened to his audio, because I thought about, for me, what some of the questions are. Like for me, some of the questions are, of course, who do I want to be? How do I want to be? How can I be a leader in my response? How can I come from a place of love? How can I come from a place of possibility or positivity? It gives that break. And in some ways, I think this is kind of what I'm pointing to about celebration, is that if we start to take more pauses in our life and to consciously think,
Is there a way for this next moment to have a little bit more juice, to feel a little bit more colorful, to feel more soothing, to feel more peaceful, to feel more like who I want to feel like in my life? Again, not saying, you know, not having our feelings, but within that, how can I take a deep breath and take that pause and choose to be my best friend, which might be the answer across the board, right? Whether we're having a fine time and, you know, we want to take a pause to see how to respond and bring more of that fine time, or a hard time. I guess we always want to ask ourselves, how can I come from a place of being my own best friend instead of, you know, which is my experience most of my youth, well into my 20s and 30s, which was being pummeled by that Squawky Polly mind, being pummeled by those thoughts that just got hold in my head and took me into the darkness. So maybe one of my questions too is, you know, how can I come from love? How can I turn my face toward the light right now? That's all that I'm saying, you know, and I'm so grateful to you as I close out this voice note, just so grateful to you for being here, for being the sort of person who is reflective and who wants to grow, who wants to always turn your face toward the light, who wants to always turn your face toward the light, even when it's hard, even when we're in the complete dark, to look for that tiny pinprick of light. Like, you know, that story for me of what started all of this, being terribly, terribly, terribly depressed and anxious, and that iron wall closing in on me. And then that one intake during meditation, pinprick of light in that iron wall, and it made all the difference. We can do that for ourselves, and we can do that for everyone we meet. I'm reminded, this is the last thing I'll say before I go, because this was also something that came up this week again, is that quote, everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. Everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. Be kind. I wish I knew who said that. I'll have to find that. All right. Love you. Bye-bye.